Blog Talk Radio.
When Ronnie comes in, we had a special guest, Loki Edwards, who will be here to give us a relational perspective. That's right. We're going to talk about relationships. I know Kathleen's going to kill us when she comes back, but you're listening to Ask Kathleen. You can join us on the program by calling 909-265-9189. That's 909-265-9189. Again, listen to Ask Kathleen. Now, I'm your special guest host, Jerome Esprit from EspritNet News. One of the things that we normally do on EspritNet News is we just kind of give you a week's worth of news and just kind of catch you up for all of the stuff that was happening. So I want to start off with a couple of news stories just to close out the week or to get your week started, depending on how you look at it. And let's see. Oh, okay. Now, our first news story, just to give you something in the commerce area, the Federal Reserve had a survey of businesses or business conditions around the U.S., and they suggested last month that the pullback in hiring may prove to be temporary. Although last week's job numbers were positive, the nation continues on a 25-month job growth. It can't be a spurt. It's 25 months, 2 years of new hires. And they're also, you know, expecting this month's numbers to be pretty high. But the new hires last month was lower than expected. That came from the Labor Department. And but the unemployment rate has fallen from 9.1 in August to 8.2 in March. And so we'll keep an eye on that and let you know how this is going to go. Now, in Texas, the U.S. Justice Department says that there was substantial evidence that Texas voter ID law will discriminate against minorities. In court, they filed papers, the Justice Department did, explaining why Texas lawmakers should turn over their papers and communications regarding the law. The Justice Department says no such privilege by lawmakers to hide supporting documents exists, and that the evidence presented so far shows that 600,000 people will be unable to vote if this law is enforced. Now, the department also added that minorities would be impacted the most. Now, currently, Texas law requires that a voter presents a registration card or a photo ID card to vote, and the new law requires that everyone presents an official photo ID card. Guessing that that's a state of Texas photo ID card. I don't know. Now, with that, you know, it is Texas, and I know we had this conversation before, and Texas can be a bit much every now and then. Now, in other news, oh, you know what? Actually, we have some news that we're going to talk about for next week, but one of the news stories for next week for our show is that U.S. will make a profit from the nation's bank and car makers' bailout at the height of the financial crisis. That's what the Treasury Department just released this weekend. Now, the bank bailouts may return about $2 billion to the Treasury in its latest projections for the government's response to the crisis. And the recovering auto industry has added over 230,000 jobs as a result. Now, the recession was the worst since the Great Depression, and $19.2 trillion of wealth was wiped out. Just in case you didn't hear me, $19.2 trillion was wiped out. So the vast majority of the projected returns, more than $179 billion, will come from the Federal Reserve's huge investments into huge investments and loans to banks. So we're expected to make that money back, and they're going to actually make money on the money that was loaned out. And by the way, if you don't know, the U.S. economy before President Obama, the U.S. economy was shrinking at 6% a year, GDP, and now it grows at 2% a year, which is the most dramatic turnaround in our lifetime in over 100 years. It has never done that. Just to catch you up on some economic news. Now, we also have some pretty interesting before we go to that, let's get some more economic news. The price of natural gas has dropped $2 for the first time in more than a decade. So the mild winter production boom that has left the U.S. with more natural gas than Americans can consume, the glut of extra gas has pushed down the price of gas 59% of, this is of natural gas, by the way, 59% since the peak of $4.85 per cubic feet last summer, and prices have been tumbling all year. Now, supplies of gas are high because improved drilling techniques and boosted production, and because the unusually warm weather also made for less gas for heating. We also export for the first time since the 40s, I think it was. We actually export more gas or more oil, refined petroleum, than we take in. Now, the U.S. exports 1.3 million barrels a day of refined oil or gasoline. I'm sorry, it's refined gas. 3.1. I don't know why I'm stumbling today. 3.1 million barrels a day, and we only import 2.2 million barrels a day. So that is a record number for the U.S. in our high turnaround in oil production. All right. Now, I just want to remind you, you are listening to Ask Kathleen. I'm your guest host, Jerome Esprit from EspritNet News. We thought we'd start off the show by giving you some news stories from the week. I didn't start with the sensational stuff, but we do have quite a bit of news from last week. And we're going to be joined by Lowkey Edwards, who is coming in to talk about relational perspective. Now, he is hosting a new program that's going to come out, and we're going to talk about relationships. I know that I really don't have too much to add on the relationship stuff, but We're going to talk about it anyway, and we're going to let Lowkey join in and see what he wants to talk about. So, you know what? Why don't we do this? Why don't we bring in Lowkey and start it off? And, you know, and when Ronnie comes in, Ronnie, just put your hand up, and we're going to bring Ronnie in also. So now we have coming to the stage contributor, EspritNet News contributor, and host of Relational Perspective, Lowkey Edwards. How you doing, young man?
Hey, what's going on there, man? What's going on?
I'm good. You know, I didn't want to bring you in too fast. I didn't know if you needed a couple of moments to get ready.
Yeah, well, you know, I'm just getting fresh off the road, man, Lake George.
Oh, man, that's right. That's right. How was Lake George?
Lake George is beautiful, so I'm a little under the weather, but we're gonna work with it.
Oh, cool. You know, we're troopers. We like to get through it. Now, before we get started, do you want to just jump to it, or do you want to go through some news stories? I know we talked about a couple of things from last week, but I did miss one of our leading news stories last night on the Trayvon Martin case. But we can get in those. But for those who don't know, the special prosecutor investigating the death of Florida teenager Trayvon Martin announced that George Zimmerman, who shot Trayvon Martin, announced that he would be charged, and actually he was charged, pleaded not guilty, and will be arraigned. Now, he faces up to life in prison if convicted for second-degree murder, which he was charged with. And the murder charge indicates to prosecutors plans to – I'm sorry. They plan to prove that he shot Martin with malice through though without premeditation. So they have an opportunity to charge him with that or manslaughter, and his arraignment is set for May 29th. So just wanted to make sure I threw our top news story out there. We'll go through some news later, but I just want to make sure we covered our top news stories. And before we get into our relationship talk, I would just like to remind you, if you're calling in at area code 909-265-9189, remember this: please keep your comments relevant, avoid profanity, vulgarity, and obscenity. We don't play, or you're getting bumped out of here. So just wanted to do that. If you're in the chat room, welcome to Ask Kathleen. I'm hosting today for Kathleen Williams, who's on the road. She gets to have a little vacation, so we're gonna tear up Ask Kathleen. How about that, Loki?
I'm with that, you know. Kathleen something to work with when she gets back.
And, you know, Kathleen is going to hurt us when she gets back. So,
I'm sure of that.
You know, we're not going to take it out of the archive, so she's just going to have to work with us. Now, to start off with relational perspective, we're talking about modern relationships, and I wanted to start by asking you a question about modern relationships. You know, we hear, you know, people talk about chivalry and all these other things, but I want to ask you, who should pay in a modern relationship?
Well, I mean, you know, this is interesting because we talk about modern relationships and, you know, this whole thing about modernizing things. I strictly believe this. I'm about chivalry. I'm, you know, listen, if I have the means to take care of the bill, I'm taking care of the bill. If I don't, I'm man enough to say to my wife or whoever I'm dating at the time, look, you know, you might have to cover this bill. So, I mean, I think by the most part, men need to step up and be men. Treat women the way they need to be treated. And, you know, they'll reciprocate. I mean, they should. But we should cover the bill. And if we can't cover the bill, we should be man enough to say that we can and have that conversation prior to taking someone out to dinner. First couple of times, you should be covering that bill. And if you have the inability to pay it afterwards or cover it or go out and handle it, you know, she should be the type of woman, the woman you're interested in, that understands and is willing to cover some of the bills.
Do you think that should be – I know there's always a lot of conversation about, you know, if you go out, if you ask someone out, that you should expect to pay. Should there be a general expectation, or should it really matter? I mean, everyone's talking about the equal pay stuff, and women are working and getting more opportunities. Should it still be an expectation always on the man side that he has to cover?
Well, yeah, I think it should be. I mean, I think, you know, I understand that there are women that make a lot more than men, but that's what I say about conversation and communication. You know, a lot of the things that are happening in modern relationships, as we call them modern relationships, yet the communication has not progressed like we'd like it to be. You know, we talk about the fact that women make a lot more money now, and they're running things, and, you know, they should pay part of the bill. And, you know, that's a conversation you need to have with the person you're dating, you know. But I do believe that the expectation that a man should cover the bill, that he should, you know, he's taking a woman out on the town, yeah, you should cover. And if she says, hey, let me cover half the bill, or, you know, don't be prideful, let her cover, if that's what she wants to do, you know what I mean? You know?
Right.
I think a lot of times it's pride that gets in the way.
Right. You know, you hear that a lot where, you know, there's these gender role issues that people have when they want to, you know, express whether they're in traditional roles or not. And so I was just putting it in a modern context from, you know, what discussions that you've had. Now, I know you've hosted women's circle groups and they've come and you facilitated those groups. What would you say that the main issues were in your last sessions, like the last couple that you had, what would you say the women's main issues were when it came to addressing relationships?
Well, I think, you know, the real challenge is, and I've seen it time and time again, is women finding the character of men they're interested in. And you know, we have this whole thing about settling. So the biggest challenge is finding men who are men, you know, and not on the pretense of being men. And that's the biggest challenge even for us as men. And I speak to the issue of black men mostly, but I talk about all men, you know. So in these groups, you know, in some of them are exhale groups, and we have a great time. And you know, the actually creator for the Syracuse region is Crystal, and she does a great job of that, in hosting the exhale. And, you know, one of the issues that comes up is about men. I mean, just how do they find them? Where are they at? You know, what happened? And I think a lot of that has to do, I had a conversation today coming back from Lake George about the standard that women set. I think women must set standards in order to get men to adhere to them. And if he can't meet your standards, you should be moving quickly. So that's the main issue that comes up, you know, finding, you know, the type of men that they're interested in, that they're looking for.
Okay.
And the second one would be how they treat each other, how they treat them.
Okay. You're saying that's what they said, that as a part of the conversation, that they're talking about how men are treating them or how they're treating men in relationships?
Well, how men are treating women, how men behave. You know, it really comes down to the behavior of men. And I think that has a lot to do in just being a man, becoming a man, you know. We like to think that because we're born male and we go through certain things, that we get a certain age and we're men. Well, mm-hmm. You know, that might be true in the most part, but, it takes a man to treat a woman right, you know, and at first he has to treat himself right, and that's a, you know, perceptive thing, you know, but it means to treat yourself right.
Right.
So,
right. Okay, you know, now I have to give a disclaimer to our audience here, and thank you for joining us to see all the calls online. Remember, hit 1 to raise your hand if you have any questions or you just want to join in on the conversation. You're listening to Ask Kathleen. This is Esprinet News. We have a special program that we're talking to Lowkey Edwards from Relational Perspective, and we're talking about issues in relationships. Now, I attended one of those exhale meetings that you facilitated, and I don't know if I understood the structure, but usually how does those meetings work? Like, is it usually agenda based, or do you go around in the circle and let women just bounce off questions? How does that work for the one that you work?
Well, I'll tell you, there's a couple of co-hosts for that and facilitators for it. And we're at the point where we spread it around. Each person from the group facilitates an exhale. But as I said, my cousin Crystal is actually the creator of the group, and she basically started out just gathering at her house, having conversations with friends, you know, and a few males in the crowd, and we just started talking about things. We'd go around the room and ask questions, and we'd answer them from a male perspective, and women would share from their perspective. And so, you know, we do have times where we've had agendas, but by the most part, it's an opportunity for people to get together and just enjoy each other's company and, you know, whatever the activity is or, you know, what the theme of the party is, and just have an opportunity to share thoughts, perspectives, and information. So sometimes it starts with an agenda, and sometimes we don't have them, but we've had some great, great exhale sessions where we just get into detail on some issues.
Yeah. No, I know you haven't. I'm not sure about this, but the movie Think Like a Man, we're not going to bash Steve Harvey. I didn't read the book or anything, but I just want to say that the whole concept of think like a man, act like a woman, I'm curious, do you think the problem with women is that they're not being like a man? Like, what is, when you sit in those conversations, do you say this is how men are and you need to adjust to be like them? Is that what do you think about that concept just generally anyway?
Well, you know,
because that sounds like somebody's running game to me, so I kind of dismiss myself.
Okay, so we're on the same page here. I tell you what, I had a conversation with my wife today about that, and those who know me know I've come a long way, and you know, I got a little shout out to myself. I am writing a book right now, but I did not read the book, and I'm not sure if I'll see the movie. But I will say this: I mean, I think if you're coming from the perspective of act like a woman, think like a man, then it's a game.
Right.
You know, you're in a game. If you have to behave a certain way in order to figure your man out and get him to do things, then you're in a, it's a game to me. I mean, I think you're in the midst of something you may not want to be in. I mean, yeah, you might figure him out eventually, but at what point does it switch up and now you got to figure him out all over again? Instead of if it's a committed relationship you're seeking, then set some standards.
Right.
You know, for yourself and for the relationship. And have that conversation first and be true and committed to those standards and to yourself. I think that's where you need to start. But I'm not bashing that. I think, you know, it can be beneficial to women, I think, to learn to think like a man because you can figure him out or his habits, I guess, out a little better and know how he's going to react. But is it about knowing what he's going to do, when he's going to do it, and if he's cheating or if he's this, if he's that, or, you know. I truly believe you. Listen, you want a good man, train him up. Some people might say, what do you mean, train him up? Train him up. You know, if you want him to do certain things, talk to him.
Right.
You know,
now,
and if he's not doing them, right, you know.
Right. You know, and I have a hard time with just that concept, because I kind of think, now this is from my own spiritual perspective, is thinking that you have to let other people live. And so if you don't let them live, you can't say, you can't tell another soul what your expectations of, you know, are of them. So that's really difficult for me, but I'm a novice at that. So I am going to let the callers call it and deal with this. And we do have a caller online. I am, but this must be finesse. So we're gonna bring our bring a caller in and talk about this. Welcome to Ask Kathleen. I think that this is a contributor to SoulOfSyracuse.com, entertainment editor, Love Flight Productions. We have Finesse. How you doing, Finesse?
What's going on, fellas? Back from D.C. shooting the sports show.
All right.
And got the text about the show.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, you have the program on today, right?
No, actually, we're shooting a new locally produced TV show, the Roland Grind Sports Show, sports and entertainment show.
Okay.
Going to be dealing with sports from a social issues as well as historically black colleges and universities. So it's going to be a good show. We've taped now 6 shows, and we got a lot more to go. So I'm back and forth in D.C. at least 3 times a month now.
Oh, cool. Yeah, we definitely have to dive into that a lot more. I wanted to ask you before we take a break, and I know someone just put their hand up on the board. So what part I'll let you jump in here. As we were talking about relationships, I didn't know if you want to dive into that right away. What kind of role do you think, like, just generally, I guess is where we left off, do you think this whole think like a man, act like a woman stuff play in relationships? Do you think that that's a good concept or even just bad to put out there? What do you think about that?
Well, you know, I don't like bashing people. But I will say I did have a chance to read the Steve Harvey's book because being in this arena, I had to be up on it. And for me, being a guy and us guys, these are nothing more than, you know, secrets that us guys used to do when we, as Low-Key was saying, back in the day when we used to run game. And that's exactly what that is running game. I think it is dangerous, and I think what's happening, there's a difference in how we did stuff back in the day versus now. Back then, you even if you call yourself running game, it still took you 2 to 4 months before you could anywhere with a girl. There was standards, there was morals, there was blase, blase. Now, the game is to see how fast you can get it. And a lot of girls are under this misconception of, a guy really likes me if I give it up. And I think we're on two different wavelengths. I think women are on one wavelength, and I think us guys or guys are on another wavelength. And I think if you're still playing the game, then you haven't matured, and that's for both men and women. Nobody should be playing the game because it's real life.
I agree. Totally agree.
I guess we must have left. I think we lost Esprit, so I guess that means I keep talking.
Right. Right. Yeah. I think you have the stage right there. I think, you know, it is a dangerous game. I mean, I think we're opening the door to so many different things, and it does go back to when we played the game back in the day, and, you know, these were the unspoken rules that we had as men, you know, on how to run game on women. And, you know, to give them the antidote doesn't make it, it's not going to make it better. You know,
right.
The real test is to clear it up and let's get on one accord. Let's be on the same page.
And I've asked, and even then, you know, I know you was raised up single family household, so was I. Our moms didn't raise us to be disrespectful. And I think that's the other thing that's in this. Women now are letting these men disrespect them. Now, a lot of women out there listening saying, well, no, they don't. Well, if you buying that music and you listening to that music and then you at the club meeting this guy and he see you dancing to that music, that's what he is going to associate you with. So you're letting a guy call you all sorts of names. The guy's not respecting you. You know, you're falling into that. And I think women have to understand, and I've known this, my mother taught me this, the women have the power. A woman knows when she see a guy if she wants to be with him, if she's going to sleep with him, all of that. Us men have no control over that. We might think we're the pimps, but in all honesty, we're not. We can only present ourselves. So when women understand that they have the power, then they can change things. But until they do, you're still going to have these dudes doing the same kind of things that they're continually doing, disrespecting them, you know, having other women. So women have to make up their mind what they want, how they want it, and they have to communicate that. Because us men are not mind readers. Not every woman is the same. She doesn't want to be talked to the same, felt the same, you know, kissed the same. Everybody's different. But you have to verbalize what it is you want and stop letting us men say, okay, well, I think you want this, and then present a falsehood to you.
Okay. You know, while we're at it, let's bring in some female energy. We have T on the line, and we want to bring her in. Your mic is open. How are you?
Good evening.
Welcome to the program.
Thank you. As listening, I haven't read the book Think Like a Man, Act Like a Woman, but I did hear Steve Harvey talking about the book, the movie, and everything. And I just want to state one of the biggest things that he stated was that kind of just to open women's eyes, because we as women talk about men are this, men are that, they don't grow up, they never will, blase, you know, on and on. Like, women just have a whole long list when it comes to men. And maybe you guys don't know our secrets yet. It may be in a book, but basically just to open our eyes, because women for so long have been basically doormats to men, and just really accepting to whatever men would come and say, or they act this way and certain things. So I think it was just kind of to open women's eyes and to start making men work harder to have you. And like you said, not sleeping with them right away and things of that sort, but just it's often like just teaching women how to conduct themselves with men.
Right.
And a lot of women lack that. So
well,
I don't really think of it maybe to be such a bad thing per se.
You said you don't think of it to be a bad thing?
Yeah, as far as the book and you know, what his message was, because he did say what you know, what he was trying to do with the book, because he did get a lot of negative feedback about the book and the movie.
Well, if I can, the only problem with that is, and I don't mean to be cruel, but that book, I read the book. The book is geared towards a certain audience, and it's geared towards women with low self-esteem, women that have been cheated on by men, and the Oprah ones. So they can say, see, that's how black men are. That's all it does, because it's not, that book is not about every man. Not every man is like that. You know, for a woman to say, yeah, you're supposed to open doors, see, he don't open the doors. I've been opening doors for females, and I can tell you, some females think that's corny.
Right.
But at the same time, they want that respect. So I think women have to be, you have to know what you don't need a book to tell you what you want and what you deserve. You need to vocalize that and say what you want. No book is going to do that for you.
Not to cut you off,
other than the Bible.
Go back to what you said about it being geared towards mostly mainly women with low self-esteem. And that's basically who would need to read about what they have to get some type of guidance to have that low self-esteem. They need some type of guidance, some uplifted, something to look forward to, something to make them feel whole again and to know their worth.
So your point to you,
like that, and then a woman to think that opening the door is corny says a lot about her at the end of the day.
So your point is basically that they need to be reeducated on certain things, or informed, more informed on certain things when it comes to relationships.
Because at the end of the day, men aren't like they were 30 years ago, 40 years ago, 50 years ago. Men are nowhere near, there are very few men that have certain morals and values on what it is to respect a woman as you respect your mother or your sister, and not just as another, you know, trophy piece or whatever it is that day, week, month, however they're feeling, to treat her like, you know. So, like, and I don't think it's saying all men is like that, but at the end of the day, it's sort of, like you said, re-educating them onto, you know, this is what a woman deserves. You know, maybe your grandmother had a man that did this and did that, and that's why you've seen your grandparents together so long. And maybe your grandmother conducted herself a certain way. You know
right.
what I mean?
Yeah. Right. So
this is
what I'm talking about women setting standards. So T's perspective is that, yeah, the book will help those who have low self-esteem to kind of, you know where to start at. And I get that. And I can agree with that. I just say that we have to be careful where we tread, because, you know, some may take it and say, well, this is the guideline to getting a man and keeping a man, but it's really not. It's a guideline to, you know, the secrets of what men do and why they do them. And some of that you can use, and some of it you just don't need to use. The true guideline, of course, is the Bible. You know, and when we talk about women getting reeducated, it really is they need to go to the Bible. I'd say go to church, but then some people are going to receive that a certain way. But to be honest, that is the direction to go, because the Bible tells you what you should expect. It tells you how you should be treated. It tells you what kind of man you should be with. But the Bible says that when a man findeth a good woman, he findeth a good thing. It didn't say if a woman findeth a good man. So that has a lot to do with it, too. You know, the other part of that is as Ness said, that women know within seconds, minutes, what they want to do, what they like, and what their plans are. Now, what happens is, because men run game, we tend to manipulate that whole scene, you know?
Yeah.
So,
you know,
I can understand where she's coming from.
Okay.
Oh, and I know you're going to take a break, Mo, just like this thing. I think from the aspect of men, you know, men are confused. No man wants to be alone. I don't care how old he is. No man wants to be alone. But when they see women respond to the bad boy types, even these young men that have the straight A's, they read books, and then they criticize being girls are saying, oh, that, you know, don't want that kind of guy, you corny, and they say, okay, well, then I'm going to play into the Rick Ross or the Lil Wayne's, and they start being something that they're not because they get that response. So there, in turn, when the women, when they're up in the club or wherever else, they're looking for that type of dude they see on TV or reading a book, and they're getting all these guys who are pretending to be that because they think that's what women want. So it comes down to all it is communication. It has to be, it, the basic thing is communication, telling somebody what you want and what you expect. And and that's the only way, and like Low-Key said, the Bible is the only key. No man can tell you anything because they're imperfect. Look, I ain't bashing Steve Harvey, but he's been married three times. Who was he right for?
Right. You know, and on that note, I have to say, now T accidentally dropped off. It might have been my part on the board, but she, T, if you're listening, just call back in. We want to get your response on that. Thanks for your comment. We are going to take a quick break because we want to come back with more. We have that's Finesse on the line, and our special guest, we have Low-Key Edwards for doing Relational Perspective. I just want to remind you, you're listening to Ask Kathleen. Our number is 909-265-9189. And when we come back, you know, we're going to talk about what role do you think TV and movies play in our concept of real relationships. I know she talked about it a little bit, about perception and what her girlfriends think and changing your mindset. But we want to know, what does our television images do to our psyche as people? So we'll be right back.
After these messages, we'll be right back. My collection is made of all the things that make me. You can tell my block got bigger, but I always remember where I started. And it feels great to move forward without leaving yourself behind. From uptown to downtown, it's all part of my style. I'm right where I'm supposed to be, thanks to where I've been. My style tells my story. Introducing the Jennifer Lopez Collection, only at Kohl's.
There are so many fun things we all can do to be healthier, no matter who you are or where you are. So let's move.
Well, here we go. We're getting set to get underway.
Let's stretch in the grass.
Great play.
Let's play tag.
What a play.
Let's jump up and down.
Oh, what a way to finish it.
And most of all, let's eat better so that we have the energy we need to play an hour a day every day.
Everyone can play. Just go to letsmove.gov to learn more.
I know what you're going through.
I've been there.
Nobody else I know has been there.
It's not easy being a veteran.
Coming back from Iraq or Afghanistan, I had been so excited to come home.
But it's harder than I thought.
Not everyone understands that.
Things at home may be as you left them.
But you don't feel the same.
Join us at communityofveterans.org.
And connect to others who are going through the same thing.
Because no one knows what it's like to come back unless they were there.
Brought to you by Iraq and Afghanistan Veterans of America and the Ad Council.
Applebee's 2 for 20 is back and fresher than ever.
So, Dave, you and the wife at separate tables now?
Honey, it's my 2 for 20 club night.
I think it's my 2 for 20 club night.
So grab your 2 for 20 club and savor inspired new favorites like tender chicken fettuccine carbonara and garden fresh bruschetta chicken. Or go for a classic like our 7-ounce house sirloin. That's one appetizer, two entrees, just $20.
Mom, Dad,
it's the freshest 2 for 20 yet, only at Applebee's. Now serving half-priced appetizers late night.
Welcome back to Ask Kathleen. I'm guest hosting for Kathleen, who's gone out of the area at the moment. I'm laughing because our music selection had nothing to do with the topic of the show. We didn't play Ludacris, never mind. Okay, and you can call in. You can join the program. Area code 909-265-9189 if you want to join in. Now, we want to run a quick public service announcement, and it goes like this. Let's Move, that's what First Lady Michelle Obama is trying to get the nation to do in her efforts to solve the problem of childhood obesity in a generation. She is suggesting that we get up and get active, Let's Move Mondays, Touch Your Toes Tuesday, Water Wednesdays, Three Veggie Thursdays, Freestack Fridays, Samba Saturdays, and Skip the Sweet Sundays. Just 60 minutes of physical activity, eating well every day, can help get your child healthy. Visit letsmove.gov today to get ideas, to get involved, and get going. This message is brought to you by the Ad Council and Ask Kathleen. All right. I had to take a breather on that. Now, we're going to go back and we're going to bring in Loki. How you doing, Loki?
All right. I'm feeling good.
All right. Now, you know, it wasn't intentional that we dropped T. We got her back. She did hear Vanessa yell about Steve Harvey and the Three Marriages before she left. But I told her to forgive us a little bit for that, because it is going to happen and it is the truth. But I want you to start off, and tell us, just trying to start this segment off by telling us, what role do you think TV and the movies play in the concept of real relationships? How do we shape our relationships based upon what we see through media?
Well, you know what? Just in reference to TV and media, man, it's such a broad perspective. I mean, I think, you know, people go to the movies, they come back, and they try whatever they see on the screen on their relationship. It doesn't work. To watch television programs, they try that, it doesn't work. You know, Vanessa hit on something, man, earlier, and T said it too. It's really about communication. You can watch every movie, you can watch every show. Certain things will work, you know, but the real thing is about communication and respect. And I think, depending on who's making the movie or show, that says a lot, and it will. It can be productive. It can be effective in assisting you with understanding certain things that you'll make and bettering your relationship. But I think, one of the biggest things is just sitting down and learning how to communicate with each other, knowing your mate. It'd be great to see shows about that, you know, that we could watch and learn something from. One of the things you and I talked about in the past was the fact that people read books on everything. They watch shows and go to the movies about everything. Black people, how often do we study about love, marriage, and relationship? If we put the effort into studying, you know, these things, as much as we look at everything and do everything else, if you spent the 4 hours that you go to the club actually studying and talking about relationships with your mate or your friend, you know, just getting a better understanding of what it means to be in a relationship, or what a relationship is, and what you should be doing as a woman, or what you should be doing as a man, then we'd be a lot further ahead. And a lot of that has to do with dating, and we talked about that too. You know, the fact that we as a people, we just don't date. I mean, of course, some people do within our race, but for the most part, we don't.
Now I'm going to have to run a disclaimer, because that's low-key. That wasn't me. I didn't call people out.
I'm calling people out. You know me.
Right. All right. Well, let's go to calls. Guess what? We have Carlton on the line. Carlton, welcome to Ask Kathleen.
Hello. How y'all doing?
Good, good. We have Carlton. Yep.
Yeah. Hold on a minute. Yeah. How you doing?
Good, man.
How you doing, CD?
Yeah, I'm here, man. What's going on?
All right.
That's
what you
good.
Got?
All right. Hey, man, I was listening to you now. There's a couple things I have to say. One is communication is a big thing. But communication starts as children. Because as children, we learn how to communicate with each other. We learn what parents are supposed to be like, what kind of mate we want, what we look for in people. Because you'll find a lot of people look for mates that's like their parents. Like a guy will look for a woman that's loving like his mother, courteous, respectful. Women will look for men that are strong like their father, and they will look for men that will take care of them, that will look at their needs the way their father does, their mother. But see, the generation these days are starting so young, they're not getting a chance to experience that, so they don't know. They have no role models.
Right.
You feel me on that one?
Right, and I'm
with you on that. That's where TV comes into that. That's where TV and movies comes into that. And that's where they're getting their role models from. You're right. You're absolutely right.
Right, and so that's why, you know, you guys were almost losing me on this because Carl kind of brought it back to the fact that if you are young having kids and then they have kids, then who actually learns relationship stuff in between that when you have, you know, the problems in, you know, certain particular areas of relationships. So, you know, to me, that's a kind of a no-brainer is that if your role models aren't there, you're not going to really have any, you're not going to know what you're modeling relationships off of. So, you know, let me bring T back in and see if T has a comment on that. I know when she had to talk about T, are you with us?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay. I didn't know if you wanted to add something to that because, you know, when we were talking about. Go ahead.
Just to go off of what you're saying and Carlton's saying, as far as, like you said, they don't know who they're modeling the relationships off if they don't have parents that have healthy relationships. And being said that, usually it's from media, television, what they see elsewhere. So that's where it comes into play. But I think the biggest thing is that we've gone so far away from that family, that black family, that the mom, the dad, just together and growing themselves in their household and showing affection around their children and everything like that. We've come so far from that now, like, kids are getting, they're getting the message of, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. And
right.
At the end of the day, it does matter. And then also, we have a lot of our black men are in prison. And that plays another factor of them why the family is not there. And so it does start when they're young. That's where you learn everything. It's from
right.
when you're young and on. So
and more important, how they're handling relationships when they get out. So that's not a normal
right.
relationship coming in and out and saying, how do you deal with long-distance relationship with someone who you have some kind of attachment to? But I know that Finesse and I, you know, in talking about someone in media with LFP Media and shooting videos and dealing with, you know, the conversation about misogyny in music videos and how that's playing out, I want to ask Finesse this and see what is it that you think about how those images are playing on relationships today, whether male or female, but how do you think those images are shaping current relationships?
I've been in this business for 30 years now, and I can tell you that entertainment plays a big part, especially in the black community. And you can see that, when the Malcolm X thing was in, everybody was wearing the pieces, the African pieces. So that was a positive trend. And then when it started getting negative, you know, people started being negative, the reality shows. I know more women that come to me about doing a reality show or being a reality show, about being in modeling. They'll do anything to be in modeling, to do anything to be in a music video. I know fellas that are smart, but they say, well, I'm going to do this type of music because it seems that's what's hot, that's what's in, and they have no idea that they're nothing but puppets. And
right.
what happens is when you have white Hollywood or people, white corporate America telling you this is what's entertaining, this is what we want you to do, and they start taking things out of us, you're no longer black. You know, we're going to agree to
right.
call you African American, or we're going to not call it soul, we're going to call it urban. So they start labeling us and telling us what's popular. It's a shame when I just looked at how much the folks from the Housewives of Atlanta, Nene's not even an actress, and she's making $1 million an episode.
For being crazy,
crazy
on TV. Well,
for being ghetto. So
right.
it's no wonder when somebody's seeing this saying, well, yo, I do this, or they begin to act like that because they think that's how we're supposed to. So they give in to the stereotypes. And the problem is there is no balance. And I could just take it back to the Cosby, right around the Cosby time, and you had a different world.
Amen.
When those shows were on,
mm-hmm.
people started going to college.
HBCU enrollment was up, everything. The minute
right.
they start bringing on shows, and even now, as I sit back and watch Martin, and I was working for Fox at the time, and I still think Martin is good to a certain point, but now I look at it, and we begin to dumb it down. The Wayne
right.
brothers, we begin to dumb it down. You know, no matter how successful I are as a family and what they do, but the things you have to be balanced when you bring it on something visual or from a music perspective. How anybody listens to Rick Ross is beyond me. This guy was a security CO. Now he comes out talking about he's selling drugs. So he is a sellout. He's selling us out. So these young boys that's listening to this music, they think that that's the truth. I don't know how many times people are going to tell me, you don't know what you talk about, finesse. Rick Ross is telling it how it is. That's how it is in the street. No, it's not, because that Negro knows.
That's why he's doing
know.
It on records. But
so what do you think? I mean, you've been in the business that for 30 years plus. What do you think is the way to correct this? I mean, how do we hold the media accountable? Because, you know, and we've said this on shows before, the fact that we spend so much money to support
mm-hmm.
media and mainstream,
mm-hmm.
yet we have no control still.
Well, to answer that question is twofold. The first one is being folks like myself that's in the media, we have to make up our mind what we're going to do. And I'm not knocking anything that any of those guys do, but we just have to be balanced. So when I produce a show or say I'm going to produce a show, I have to show another side of the black culture. Because right now we're just seeing one side. So that from that standpoint, as far as what other folks can do outside of the media, you have to decide what you want yourself and your family to see, and that you have to set rules. That's the problem in the black community. We don't want to set rules and regulations. Tell your child, no, you can't watch this, and explain to them why. Don't let them just go see any and everything, listen to any and everything, you know, have any and everything. There's no reason why a four-year-old should be dancing anything by Nicki Minaj, period.
All right. Now,
and that's the parent's responsibility.
Right. And I understand, you know, what the images are doing to us, but I just want to make sure that we bring this back out into how it's affecting adults, because the adult relationships are affecting these children. And so
right.
they're just mimicking what they're seeing. And so, yeah, we probably should cut the media portion out of their lives, but how is this affecting folks inside of their household, I guess, is where we want to go. Go ahead, Loki.
I think, you know, it's twofold. It's as T was saying earlier, too, you know,
mm-hmm.
as parents, aunts, uncles, brothers, sisters, whatever it is, you have a responsibility to help raise these children, and we don't see that happening. So it comes back to relationships again. And so the manner in which it's affecting them is like, in a sense, we have people who are, you know, they believe that things are a certain way in the street, so they behave that way. And they're being told this, and it's being, see, what they're thought, they have thoughts, right? And then that's
right.
being affirmed by people, like you said, like Rick Ross and a few others, and then by these movies and these TV shows. It affirms their thought process, as he was saying, too. People believe to begin to think a certain way, and then they see these things, and that's affirmation for them. It may not
mm-hmm.
be true. It may not be productive. It may not be positive, but it affirms their thought process. So it is a reeducation. And we said that before on one of the programs about the dumbing down of the black community. You know, when it comes to relationships, money, you know, the whole thing. And, you know, just to spin this back, why aren't we, you know, we pay so much attention to these negative programs and stereotypes, and the dumbed down programs. We're not looking at the fact that how we control our money, how we have productive, healthy relationships. You know, I was at a seminar this weekend, and one of the issues was about, you know, the statistics from relational homicides, just for people who are dating each other or married each other, the violence in that, man. I mean, just, and that, again, television, media, music plays a major
right.
role in that.
Now,
and as
I wanna...
Carl said earlier,
right.
as Carl said earlier, it does start when we're children. It does have an impact, you know, but moving on from there, what are we doing? It comes back to men.
Right, being a man in the community. Now, I want to quickly just say, you're listening to Ask Kathleen. I'm guest hosting today. Kathleen is traveling. Jerome Esprit, we're on with Low-Key, special guest Low-Key, giving us a relational perspective, a relational relationship perspective. We're doing this on Ask Kathleen while she's missing, so she's not, just in case she calls in and curses us out a little later, we're almost halfway through the show. So I just wanted to share that. We have Finesse on, and we have a guest caller, T, that's on, and we just want to keep it rolling. I just wanted to make sure you had the number, area code 909-625-9189. Remember to press 1 on your dial, and I want to welcome everyone in the chat room and on the lines that's listening. If you want to join in, just press 1 on your keypad. All right, area code 909 265-9189. You know, I'm going to remember that number at some point. Now, even although, you know, we know that there's an external issue about how we're looking at women, how we are objectifying women, but I know we're older. Well, I shouldn't say that. I know I'm older. And I come from a place that stuff doesn't affect me. Like, I remember having conversations and saying, I know people admire Tupac and Ice Cube and Snoop and said that they were objectifying women, but when you look at their wives, they are not marrying the women who are in those videos. So if you look at Tupac, who has passed, he was engaged to Quincy Jones' daughter, and she was not in the streets like that. So I'd like to remind people is how you're supposed to watch this stuff opposed to letting that influence you. And I know, Finesse, you were talking about that a little bit, about how those projections are coming out, and they're not living that way inside their own lives.
But the danger in that is because you have to give that off like it's real, and no other group does that. You know, when you listen to, you know, country artists or even rock and roll guys, they're talking about things that, you know, for real, that they experience. They're not making stuff up to do damage to hurt their community. We're doing it, and then we're saying, well, you should just think of it as make-believe. Well, the problem with that is this music is not being sold to 25 and up. The music is being sold to 9-year-olds and up. So when you have a 9-year-old where it doesn't have, maybe a dad's not in the picture, or maybe a mom's not in the picture, or mom doesn't care, so these people begin to look to these individuals, and they begin to think it's truth. And so many times I've been at music conferences arguing with these young cats about what is real and what is not. And you can't have that. So I like how you use the balance with Tupac, because I look at Tupac as being, he was real because he was conflicted. He could be talking about, you lift your head up, and then the next minute he want to shoot somebody. That's real. I think that's
most
why everybody
are conflicted.
Tupac. Because most people are too conflicted. But when you get somebody like Lil Wayne, and then you hear him in interviews, and then you see what he does, and then you see him making all these babies. So these dudes, they're looking at the money, because the money get the girls, get the power. So they're going to do the same exact thing as a vicious cycle when there's no balance. You know, they're not going to bring a comma reality show on. They're going to bring another Wayne little show on because it's about money. And when we stop selling out for money and stop selling out our culture, then we can progress.
I don't think that's true. I mean, that part, but as far as it's okay for Tupac to be conflicted but not Lil Wayne, because at the end of the day, he's conflicted as well. It's the inner him coming out in these songs. And what he talks about, I'm like, who thinks like that? So at the end of the day, it's not so, I don't think it should be about who's being conflicted and what your conflict is about. At the end of the day, it's all conflict, even in the other groups. Most love, it's a lot of love songs and hurt and break your car, do all these things. And at the end of the day, it's entertainment, and they're getting what sells. So I feel that it's wrong to say that only a certain rappers are being negative and talking about selling drugs. No, Wu-Tang and before that, they all were talking negative, but it was just entertainment. It was entertainment.
Now
it's like we're learning from our music. The young kids are learning from their music, even adults. When they hear stuff about, I break the windows out your car,
that's what they're going to go act like when something goes wrong.
We all learn from music, but I guess the point even with the Lil Wayne stuff is Lil Wayne was rich since he's about 15 or so, and so it was just about 12. Bringing it. Yeah, since he was 12, and so they were literally selling an image. There was no financial reason why he had to do any of that stuff. It was just pretty much for the image. I'm not going to say that he's a victim of anything, but he is a product of the music. Like that's what he grew up in.
He wasn't rich since he was 12. If you show where he shot himself standing in the mirror, he lived in a slump. He was in a slump. Even when he was making Baby and Cash Money records, still was not living.
Well, he was 12. He
couldn't
personally.
Until he was
15.
I'll let you go, Finesse, but I just want to say he was 12. He didn't have to be.
No, and this is the thing, and this is the same argument I have with people because they read stuff. I'm around it. Lil Wayne had money. Baby protected him. There was no reason for him to continue to go. He was brought up in that Cash Money family. He had money. He didn't go through the life of some other ones that may be keeping it real, like a DMX, like a Tupac. So there's a big difference. Drake was a millionaire. Drake was on, what was the name of that soap opera for kids? Degrassi.
Yeah, he was on the Nickelodeon stuff too, or
right.
The Disney stuff.
Right.
I think
so when you make a conscious decision and say, you know what, I'm gonna do this just so I can make the money. And even in the new record, Drake even says he lied about some of the things he said just to get the cash. That sells out
correct.
The community and sells out the people, and that's where the problem
that's
is.
All doing that.
But not all.
All right. You know what
I feel.
Okay.
We'll give this another 2 minutes and we'll bring it back to the relationship.
Okay. Go ahead. No, because we're talking about relationships, not really media image. We know that the image stuff is bad, and that is a whole nother show. But, I mean, and so, you know, just the conflict that people have generally in how they live their lives. There are people who go outside fronting like they have something, you know, and if you know anything, when you get old enough to understand, you'll know that people who have money really don't flash money because they don't want you to know that they have it. And so the opposite thing happens in the community a lot of times, that people flash to make you believe that they have something. So I want to go back to Loki. I know you want to speak about this, but go ahead.
There is a connection here. I'm not going to discredit any of what we've been talking about, but there is a connection, and to me that connection would be, once again, black men and lack thereof, and T spoke to that for a second there. We were going to talk about role models, we want to talk about everything else, but it really has to do with, you know, black men reaching a point in their lives and going through some sort of spiritual process, some sort of maturity, growth, and reaching for manhood. And everybody, like I said before, everybody likes to say that they're a man, but, you know, let's talk about the measure of a man. You know, a man takes care of his family. A man provides for his family. A man, you know, we can go down the line on that. But then that leads us back to relationships, you know.
Right.
And talking about what you said about men, you know, when you're looking at relationships, they're in prison, they're, you know, there's so many different statistics, and based on where you live in this country, it just multiplies. So yeah, I won't discredit where we just came from with the rappers and the talk about where they're at and what they're doing and why they're doing it. A lot of it has to do with either somebody in their life, a black man standing up and saying, "Hey, this is what you need to do, or this is what you need to stop doing, and this is where you need to go." But a lot of it is, once again, as we said, where are we as a people preparing for relationships, talking about relationships? One of the things that we know for a fact is that as a people, we don't like to talk about emotion.
Right.
We don't like to talk about things that pain us, you know, relationships.
You know, I want you to hold that thought because we're going to take a quick break. We really need to talk about coming back and actually sharing emotion because, you know, as guys, and I know we have Tion, some people on the line. If the women, you can chime in. We're not bashing. But we need to talk about how that is also playing into the whole issue in relationships, how emotion is. So let's take a quick break, and we'll be right back.
Minutes of physical activity a day and eating well can help get your child healthy. So keep them active and eating well every day.
Skip a rope Saturday, free tag Friday, tap dance Thursday.
Eat
well and move a lot. Get ideas. Get involved. Get going at letsmove.gov. That's letsmove.gov. A message from USDA, HHS, and the Ad Council.
Top of the hour, so we got just a little over 50 minutes left in this particular show. I want to bring back on Low Key. We're going to talk about all sorts of things, but we're going to start back off again and get it ramped up, and let's talk about commitment in relationships and just how men see commitments and how those new definitions of modern relationships are hurting just relationships in general. So what do you think, Loki, when it comes down to commitments, how that's affecting relationships?
You know, just looking at it from a man's perspective, and that's, you know, that's what the show is about, men's perspective, and then we open it up to everyone else's perspective, and that's the show we're talking about bringing on anyway. You know, talking about commitment itself, we all just have an issue with commitment, basically just have an issue with commitment. And you can see it in different aspects of your life, whether it's dealing with money, as I said, dealing with your job, dealing with yourself. But getting back to relationships, you know, a lot of it has to do, and I'm only speaking from a man's perspective, and men can say whatever, other men can say what they need to say. A lot of it has to do with, like I said earlier, man, we do things when we're young based on where we're at. And the last thing on our mind is commitment. Not knowing that that failure to commit is going to have an impact on your future, on your life down the road. The sooner you learn to commit to things that you do, things that you, you know, enjoy, the sooner you learn to commit in your relationship. And that's what we struggle at as men. We struggle with commitment. You know, we give into the carnal, the flesh, the knowledge of, you know, the desire. We want to do other things. Last thing we want to do is commit to someone. I need 3 or 4 women. I don't need one. You know, and as a man, I didn't come into my manhood until a couple of years ago as far as learning to deal with my desires and flesh and commitment and, you know, and I'll be honest, you know, this is my second marriage, and I learned a lot, you know, dealing with a lot of those things. I think...
Okay.
Go ahead.
No. I was just saying, go ahead.
I think the issue with, you know, being committed has a lot to do with ourselves. You know, we're dealing with a lot of our past. We continue to allow our past to bleed into our present and ruin our future, as they say. You know, and you have to learn to let go and have growth. And growth is dealing with the pain that you dealt with before. You don't bring it forward. Growth is dealing with what's happening in your life right now and dealing with you. How do I grow from here? And learning that it's fine. It's great to be in a committed relationship. It is great. It's okay. We have this belief that it's not, that we're missing something, but it's great to be in a committed relationship. And the true thing about it is it takes work. It's not easy, but we have to continue to work towards something. And you're not going to be perfect. That's what you have to acknowledge and embrace in the first place. Nothing's perfect, and you're going to struggle with it. But we have to
all
get
right
to that point first.
All right. And Finesse, do you have anything to add on that, on the commitment side?
From the commitment side, I said earlier, no man wants to be alone. And low-key started talking about emotions before he went to the break. And I think that's key, that us men need to show our emotions because that's the way God created us. We're in God's image. So women shouldn't, you know, dog a man if he's being emotional with you, because you're supposed to be his mate. You're supposed to be his best friend, someone he can talk to. So if he wants to come to you and cry, you should let him, because he's just he has a release.
Now,
and I think a lot of women forget that.
Now I'm glad you brought that up, because here was my problem with think like a man and act like a woman. I know I say this kind of off air all the time when we're sitting around talking, but I don't think women really get this. If you think like a man and you test a man's manhood, like testosterone-wise, I guarantee you his girlfriend will be cooking him dinner. Like, he's going to keep another woman that is going to be a little bit more, like, less aggressive. Guys go out, they fight, they work hard, you know, may clean sewers, do whatever. And the reason that strip clubs exist is for that mere fact that as long as you can flash a dollar at somebody, they're treating you like a king. So when you fight it amongst that testosterone, you don't really care to fight when you get home. And women, I think, sometimes miss that point. And so that's why I was saying think like a man is a bad example of how you approach another man. Now, I don't know about the other men like that, but I know testosterone tells us that we don't really roll like that. If you ask to fight somebody who fights, they're going to fight you. And that is always a problem.
And there's nothing wrong with being aggressive. There's two different, you know, women always say, what? Because I like aggressive women. But they take, they ain't like, you like aggressive women. They don't know how to come at it. I mean aggressive, meaning knowing that what you want. If you want me, show me that you want me. But not aggressive in the sense like what you're talking about, where you're challenging everything I say or what I do. No man wants to come home. You know, it's rough being a man, and then it's rougher being a black man. You have to come home and fight every night? No one wants that. If they did, then they go fight Mayweather.
I know we still have T out of line, so T, you can jump in on this, but we're just kind of making the point that I know that seems to be a little bit confusing when we're saying that people will – you know, say you have to think like a man and act like a lady, but more importantly, you can't be a man inside of a relationship. It really doesn't work. And if you find your boyfriend likes potpourri and he's doing all that other stuff. There is no such thing as metrosexual in the real world. Like that guy, guys normally separate themselves from their interaction with other guys and their women. So women who like to hang out with guys always say that. It's like, nope, they treat me like one of the guys. But genuinely, it doesn't always work that way. You don't want your guys, even your friends, even looking at your woman like that. So unless they're really, you got to be friends for a long time before guys bring you around other women, bring women around other women.
So, Well, I think as well, as far as the commitment, it goes both ways. And I just feel like as it's easy to say what you want, but also it's harder to put yourself in the other person's shoes and to say, okay, what I'm doing, would I accept this from someone? Do you understand what I'm saying? Is it okay if she goes to the strip club? Is it okay to have for her to do these things that I'm doing? And then, you know, I think commitment just is two people, but yet again, it's a learned behavior. It shows, commitment shows in everything you do. If you're committed to what you do and on your day-to-day basis, is if you can be committed in a relationship. So once again, it just goes back to yourself, knowing yourself, because a lot of people jump from relationship to relationship to relationship. And they never get a chance to really ask themselves, what do they want? What do they want from another person? And what will they accept? So that's a big part of commitment to me.
Right. And
that's a good point. One thing I will say is we say relationship, but I'd say situation. We jump from one situation to another situation to another situation. Because a relationship has boundaries, it has standards, it has, you know, guidelines, it has, you know, restrictions, stipulations, and people have to learn to live with that. And a lot of people have a problem with that. Those things signify commitment, you know, and a lot of people are just not willing to deal with that. So I say situation. We jump from one situation to another, having never closed the door on the last.
Okay. Yeah. I think
I think some of the biggest problems with the relationship, I mean, as far as commitment is about change. And people do not take kindly to change. People don't like to change themselves. And that's one of the problems they run into when it comes down to relationships. Because in the Bible, especially as far as a woman, as far as a woman is supposed to somewhat adapt herself to the needs of her husband. And a man is supposed to adapt himself to get away from what he needs and focus on protecting her and taking care of her, which means you got to change your thought about yourself and change your focus to somebody else. And that's one thing people find hard to do.
Right. And if I can add on to that?
Yes.
The biggest thing that's missing is people are not starting off being friends first and going back to something low-key said earlier, and which I took for granted until I got older. There is nothing wrong with courting. I think you have to court in order to get to know if you are compatible with somebody before you can commit. We
right.
go from Absolutely. Meeting in the club to sleeping in the bed. We don't know this person. We don't know what this person has. We don't know this person's background, anything. First friendship, then court, then we can do all that other stuff.
Right. That has always been.
Or maybe not.
All right, then.
There was a famous preacher also said that you don't meet the real person until after you get married. Everybody puts up a
slide. Right.
Chris, you know Chris what? Rock said after 3 months.
Right. I think this is it, though. This is, and we can tie it back into the biblical thing. It really comes down to what Finesse just dropped it, and he said maybe not. You know, it really comes down to this. You know, one thing we used to say, and we take the biblical sense away for a second. One thing we used to say is a woman knows, you know, Finesse, when we'd be in the club, you know, a woman knows whether she's going to be with you, sleep with you, or mate you.
Yep.
After meeting you, you know. So if you were not looking for a woman, a mate, you were looking for that woman who was, you know, who knew, and she had that confidence about what she was doing. And you know how brothers used to do. We sort them out. We sort them out, you know.
No, and see,
no disrespect. See, I'm just saying, this is how we used to behave. And we would sort them out. It wasn't about dating. I'm not trying to date. I'm not trying to be in that situation. I'm trying to find that one for tonight, not that one for the next year, the year after. You know,
I think a lot of women are like that now as well.
Today they are, yes. And you and I have had that conversation. They are today, but that's that whole thing that think like a man and act like a woman. But a lot of them think like a man and act like a man. You know,
okay.
Man, the game has changed so much. We compete with other women to get other women.
Oh, yeah. All right. I just want to run a disclaimer. It is not that show. And I'm not inviting that energy. Keep comments relevant. Avoid profanity, no vulgarity, or obscenity. Just not today.
But
you're right, Vanessa. I'm not discounting what you're saying. I'm not discounting what you're saying.
It's a factor. It's a factor because it goes back to what you said about women are just tired of the bull. They're tired of it, man. They're tired of weak men. They're tired of men who think they know. I mean, they're not men. But they're just tired of that male behavior, you know? And so
right. Okay.
It's natural.
But I do have to say, we're even on that point, women created this environment. Don't even kind of blame it all on guys on this. Just because women are a part of that superficial, I don't need a man thing. And we've talked about this with women in women's situations before, where they grew up during the kind of 80s and 90s saying, I want to be an independent woman. I don't need a man. And you look at places like Atlanta. I know Kai is not joining us today, but we talked about this, is that they are in their 30s now talking about, I can't even find a man. It's because when you shunned them when it was early, all they did was run after young girls even after that. So now you want to come into relationship age and act like that they're not there. But you women kind of create the environment by putting that out in the universe that they ain't need nobody. And so guys adapt.
I partially disagree with that. I think, you know, and I know Carl can chime in too on this. First and foremost, man was created first. Man
right.
set the stage. We followed suit. We didn't take charge and lead. We followed suit, which is that's not what his plan was for us. Our destiny was to lead, to be men, to be the leader of our family, the leader of our community, the leader, whatever it was. And we did not do that. We have not met the challenge, and we are not meeting it today. And that is why we have the environment that we have today, because we haven't stepped up. And so what I tell men all the time is step up and step in. You either are going to step in place and position to achieve your destiny, or you're going to forfeit it. And that's real.
And a lot of men are forfeiting.
I have to agree with you, because it's a lot of – The thing in the 80s and 90s was to go to college and you get a husband, even before that. So at some point, the men got lost. The men got lost and they weren't there. And women watched their mothers be independent and raise
Absolutely.
Families on their own. And so then they came out and said, well, we can be independent. We don't have to take this. We don't have to take that because I watched my mother do it. So at the end of the day, I do agree with Loki that it's not us who started this, because women, for the longest, were, you know, they followed for a long time. Maybe they ran their households as women, but they followed. The men went out and brought the money home and, you know, did that. But at the end of the day, I just don't agree that it was the women.
So just to clarify my point, just to get the conversation going, I wasn't saying that it was holistically the responsibility of women. I'm not saying that. I am saying traditionally what what we fail to mention, like you look at New York State governor getting caught with some prostitute or something, and you watch guys do this kind of stuff all the time and go to strip clubs. It'll never be outlawed, and so everybody can get that out of their head. And it's just because if you are shunned in some nerdy kid and you grow up through any system, go to get a degree and become a doctor, for example. You can have the prettiest wife, nice home, and stable, but he's always going to want to be the cool guy. And since everybody's up on him, the young nurses and all of that stuff, he is going to have options that he is going to probably, if he hasn't fulfilled that when he was younger, he is going to go to town. So it doesn't mean he doesn't love her. It doesn't mean any of that. What I'm saying that once society kind of breaks down and then women start taking another path along with guys just running through what they run through, then you're going to have those problems. I wasn't blaming women. I'll never do that. But I wasn't blaming women for that.
Oh,
no,
well, you can. To some degree, you can because women are growing up with hostility and they are teaching it to their children.
To some degree, I understand
their hostility because, like I said, there are a lot of men that's mistreating women. But these women, I mean, like I watched my brother when him and his wife were together, when they separated, his wife tried to teach her children to dislike him. And if you don't like your father, you don't like, which is the father's supposed to be somewhat, you're supposed to be the representation of your father. If you don't like your father, you really don't like yourself. If you don't like yourself, you're not going to like nobody else. You're not going to treat anybody else right.
I want to add to that.
I'm hostile.
Go ahead.
But I love my dad, and he raised me. And someone made me hostile, so I had to come back from that. So that's just me speaking. So I'm sorry. Go
ahead. Okay.
I want to come back to that. I want to let Finesse jump in, but I want to come back to what T just said because I have a question for on the hostile part. And dealing with that and making mistakes. So I'm going to let Finesse jump in so I can come back to that because I know we're going to be limited on time.
We're good. Go ahead, Finesse.
I really think it's 50-50, and I'm going to use myself as the example. No matter how honest I try to be being single, there are times and moments when I didn't communicate well with a female what I wanted. And I know I've damaged some females, and I myself, on my own personal journey, have gone back and apologized to certain females. So I think it's 50-50 because we have damaged, you know, like T saying, whatever relationship she's dealt with. I think men have damaged women to the point where they are hostile. I know my dad did it to my mother, you know, cheated on my mother, he beat my mother, and so forth and so forth. But at the same time, I think a lot of women come into hostility because they expect something or want something to go their way, and they don't know how to communicate and verbalize. So the only thing they know is always being angry. And we can't take our emotions into each relationship we deal with as being the same. It's not going to be as the same as the last relationship. We can't always expect that they're going to do this because what you do is you may force that situation to be like the past situations. And that's why I say again, communication is the key. And if you are not friends and can't communicate, everything we talk about, it doesn't matter. Even if our past, when we get hurt, we need to talk about that in order to even move on to the next relationship. You can't move on to the next relationship until you get over your last or your past hurt relationships.
Okay. And, I just want to kind of let's take a quick break on that note because I know you low-key wanted to follow up, but we're coming to our last half hour of the show. We're going to take a quick break, and we're going to come back and follow up. You're listening to Ask Kathleen, area code 909-625-9189. We just have another listener want to join in on the call or join in on the program, so we're going to get to you as well when we come back from this quick break, okay? So stay with us. All right.
Hands can do incredible things. This is the sound of 326 hands playing Mozart. This is the sound of 10,942 hands showing appreciation. 64 hands building a house for the homeless. 142 hands swimming a triathlon.
18 hands winning the big game. And this is the sound of two hands helping to save a life. It's called hands-only CPR, and it's recommended by the American Heart Association. If an adult suddenly collapses, call 911, then push hard and fast in the center of their chest until help arrives. It's incredibly easy and effective. Hands can do incredible things, but nothing compares to using them to help save a life. Find out more about this latest method of CPR at handsonlycpr.org. A message from the American Heart Association and the Ad Council.
Unless me there with my girlfriend, yeah. So me nah get no sleep at all because she lives long distance, yeah. Then me coulda take a plane or a choo-choo train, but only I for make until me see her again. So I work all night, all day for my long distance girlfriend, yeah. But when you call. My far away baby, yay, yay. And when she touched down, she with the crown, a pure smile no frown. When she come around, and there's no other love but my long distance girlfriend. Well, yay.
All right, welcome back to Ask Kathleen with guest host Jerome Esprit from EspritNet News. We're here with Loki from Relational Perspective. And I just want to remind you, Ask Kathleen every Sunday at 7 p.m. Eastern. You can check her out. You can check us out on EspritNet News on Esprit Radio every Thursdays at 11 p.m. Eastern. So we have a little 27, 26 minutes left in the program. We're going to pick up where we left off. Loki, I know you wanted to put something out there and make a and talk to T for a second. Go ahead.
Yeah, I wanted to go back briefly, and then I want to touch on another subject. But I wanted to go back with T from the issue on hostility and anger from women dealing with past relationships or failed relationships and how that's impacting you on your new relationships and how you know, I mean, what is your thought process on that and how it's impacting women and how they're dragging a lot of that pain and anger forward into the next relationship?
T, are you with us? She might just have us on mute. But do you want to continue with your point? She'll chime in when she can.
My point. Okay, let me just. My point with that is that a lot of times, and I'll say this is true for men and women. We you know, speaking for myself, I had at one point allowed, you know, the anger from a failed relationship to carry over. And any means or hopes of trying to, revive that relationship, I ruined based on the anger and animosity I carried. You know, me and that person are best friends today, but I had to learn, and that's that emotional maturity we're talking about. Men have to, at some point, get into developing ourselves, our emotional maturity. Vanessa talked about it for a minute about dealing with our emotions, and we really have to get to a point. I was at a seminar where the gentleman, you know, and it was Lamar, actually gave a seminar up in Lake George, and he said one of the things that, you know, men are allowed to cry at the birth of a child and at the loss of a family or friend.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so that's a statement in itself, that
right.
If we are in touch with our emotions, are we not allowed to express them? And how, as Vanessa said, how we viewed as men once we express those emotions, you know? Are you afraid to cry in front of your friend, your mate, whatever? You know, and are you, when you're communicating and you get emotional, can you recover from that? So, you know, in dealing with spiritual recovery and emotional maturity, these are things men, and what I would say is men, we need to talk to each other about. You know, get in a men's group. Talk about that. Talk about letting go of past failures. You can't build a new relationship dealing with the failures of your last relationship. Let it go. Move on. Develop, learn something, and as we talk about life lessons, get a life lesson, move on to the next thing. Let it go. You know, what did you not do that you could have done that would have corrected the situation, or what can you do better in your next relationship?
I want to say for the record, cry when you feel pain. That's all I can really tell you. Yeah, it has no bearing on who you are as a person or your manhood because you feel pain. So I just want to bring in another caller. We have Melinda on the line, and welcome to Ask Kathleen. Thanks for joining us.
Hi. Thanks.
Hi.
I've just been listening to what you guys are saying. I agree and I disagree. Like, I think hostility has no room in any relationship. I've had past instances happen to me, but I've never let that affect my relationship I have now with a very good guy.
What you're saying, hostility affecting?
Yeah, hostility.
What helped you overcome the things that happened in your past that you didn't carry them over to your future, to your present, actually?
For me, my relationship with God has helped a lot. It helped get me through it.
Mm-hmm.
In a sense. Well, I'd have to tell you the story for you to understand. Before I met my present boyfriend, I have been through two major instances in my life. One was when I was 17 and one when I was 22. I lost my virginity to rape when I was 17, and when I was 22, I was gang raped. But I got over it through counseling and prayer, and I took a vow of chastity for myself. And my boyfriend understands that's the one I have now. He's willing to wait for me until we get married. And he thinks that I deserve better than him because of the situations he's in. My boyfriend's sick, but I don't have a problem with that. He was born with it. It's not something that he can change. He would if he could, but he can't. And I love him through it. It's okay with me.
Well,
yeah.
Well, that's good. I mean, I think the key factor here is, though, that you set a standard, and that's what we were talking about before. You know, she got healing, and that's what we were saying before, that we're not giving ourselves enough time to heal between situations or relationships in order to start another one. We go from one to the next, and we carry that luggage with us. And as she stated, she was able to basically, you know, give herself that time, seek counseling, seek prayer, give herself some time to heal. And then not only did she do that, she set a standard for herself that whoever she got with had to accept that standard and understand it and embrace it and commit to being with her. And that's what we're talking about here. And that's what we're lacking in dealing with relationships at this point.
Yeah, sure. Actually, you just gave me a promise ring not too long ago. So
congratulations.
Great guy. Thank you. Very good guy. Funny, too. But he's definitely a good man. They're out there. It just takes a lot of looking. But I've got
one. All right. Well, thank you. So that you know, that also speaks to the point about dating, you know, and that's just a whole other subject on how do we move towards dating and away from, as Vanessa and I were talking about earlier, about, you know, going to the club and wherever and meeting somebody and then you're in the bed with them, or, you know, giving yourself that time. One thing my mom used to say to me was, you need to learn to be alone. And that's something we have an issue with, being alone. And as Vanessa said, no man wants to be alone, but and there it is. You, since we don't want to be alone, we'll do anything and everything in between, you know.
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. again, that's that manipulation from men, you know, and manipulating whatever standard women have, we attempt to manipulate it to our benefit. And that's where women have to stand their ground.
Yeah, I always wanted to stand my ground, especially through school. Everybody knew I was a class virgin, but I wasn't going to give it up to anyone. I had standards for myself, and it made me single.
And first of all, I want to say thanks, Melinda, for joining us and sharing. But the thing is that sometimes you have to step away from everybody else too. Like that's the biggest thing about any relationship, is how well do you stand on your own before you go into relationships? Because some people don't get, like, they don't understand the difference between using someone else as a crutch in your relationship, or sharing responsibility and sharing, you know, life. And that's a big thing that you kind of get as you get older. But when you're younger, you never see that. You think, I hear people say this all the time, I want somebody who's going to add something to my life. And I always think that that's kind of strange. Like, I always believe that generally everybody has value. And so if it's one more person, they should be adding to your life. No, I could be wrong in that, but I would think that I don't draw people who don't add to my life generally. So I wanted to make sure that, you know, we looked at it from that perspective as well. I know, Vanessa, did you want to add something on there? I just wanted to let you know your mic was open as well.
I got Melinda who called in, wanted to, once you take sex out of the equation, I think, sex is a big thing now that people think a relationship is. But once you take that out, you're able to become friends and have a relationship. Sex is not relationship. Sex is just icing on the cake. But you want somebody whom you can trust, whom you feel comfortable with, sharing your secrets, who you want to go do things with. It's funny now, you can really tell what people are in a good relationship when you see them out. You see couples, they're all both on their cell phones texting each other. They don't have a relationship. All they just have is sex. But when you see a couple out and they don't have their cell phones and they're into each other, it's beautiful. It's lovely. It's nice to see people in love. And I think we've gotten away from it, especially in black community. We don't want to talk about love, especially black men, because we've been told it's uncool. I think love is a great thing. And I feel bad for the relationships I messed up. You know, I wish I could have those back. But people got to learn from, you know, learn from my mistake and not do that. It's okay, men, to cry. It's okay to have emotions. It's okay to tell somebody you love them. And women, listen to your men. Stop having people tell you if your man is showing his emotion, he ain't no real man. He's coming to you because he trusts you and confide. Because the minute you shut him out, there'll be the next one that will listen and take your place.
Right.
Yeah,
I
agree with that.
Yeah, Melinda and T is still on the line, so I just wanted to say, since you were speaking to her, she's there.
Yeah, I agree with
yeah.
that.
You
I had a
that
I do. I do agree with that.
Okay. And T, you wanted to add something?
I was just saying that I totally agree. I totally agree with everything that is being said. And I do want to just say that there are good women as well. There are good women out there, and I think a lot of times we talk to women about being hostile, but guys as well should be talked to about being hostile and carrying those same feelings over, because we look at it, women are hostile and they do things and all that, and I can say that I held my hostility and I let it out in a good way. But at the end of the day, I've worked on it and everything, but it's still there somewhat, and I try not to let it play a factor in my relationship, and I continue to do what I'm doing to remove that hostility. But at the end of the day, I think it applies to both males and females. And then about men showing emotion, I don't really know too much about men not showing emotion. I think it's okay. I think it's okay. And yeah, a lot of times, and that was the past, when men were told they couldn't cry and things of that sort. But I think that's what women want to see, is emotion. They want you to show them emotion. They want to feel love. They want you to tell them that you care. They want that. But they don't want it to be a big thing to have to get that.
Right.
It comes again from learning to communicate, learning to know each other. A young man said today, this young doctor, he said, communication creates clarity. Now, and that's that whole thing with learning to know someone, because as Finn said, you have to trust that they're not going to exploit or take advantage of you and see it as a weakness when you open that side of yourself up. And the problem with our relationships in this community is that the minute that when a woman opens herself up, men exploit it. I'm going to say, you know, just all men, but and then also with women. When a man opens himself up, he's afraid to be played, to be taken advantage of. And so he plays that role. As I said, he plays the hard role. We got to be hard, you know, because it's not cool to be emotional. It's not cool to be in touch with your feelings. I mean, and I saw it as it was cool. Because, and I have to say, I did, like Finesse said, I was that guy too. I was that, you know what? Women like a man who's in touch with his feelings. Let me use this to my benefit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I didn't use it to find a mate at the time. I was using it to get over. You know, and that's that whole thing about emotional maturity.
I want to ask.
And when I was.
Okay. Go ahead, Carl.
Go ahead. Okay, because when I was young and I was in school, now I had a nickname called Shakespeare. I was somewhat the intellect. I was into, I was raised by my mother and two sisters. So I got attuned to my feminine side as I grew up, and women took advantage of that. I was hard to get a girlfriend because they taught me as different. I mean, I watched all the cool guys, the ones that fought, get girlfriends. I just walked around and just hung by myself with fellas. They leave me, go with the girls. Because I was the nice guy. All the bad guys got all the girls. I mean, that's the way it was back in the days.
It's worse than it is like that today. And I want to add on to what Carl said, but going back to something Loki said earlier, you got to love yourself. And I'm telling you, the best date I ever had is when I took time out for myself, made myself go to the movies, go out to dinner, go to different things so I could find out who I was and what I wanted. Now I can get into a relationship because I know who I want, but I don't have that fear about going somewhere by myself. And I think a lot of guys and even women can't do that, and you have to know yourself. If you can't date yourself, how you expect somebody else to date you?
Exactly. Absolutely. And that's what my mom meant by being by yourself. You have to be comfortable in being by yourself. And when we get time to ourselves, where are we developing ourselves? We all say, I need some me time. But when people take me time, what do they do with it? You know, and this goes back to what we were saying about dating and developing. You have to study this. There's no, you know, nobody, we grow up and people act as though we were giving some script on love and respect. We were given some script on relationships. We were given some script on how to treat each other. Well, yeah, the script was the Bible, but how many of us paid attention to it? We weren't really paying attention to that back then, and few are today. But you have an opportunity, and you owe it to yourself, as Vanessa just said, is to know yourself and develop yourself before you give up yourself. And that's
right.
Where we need to start. Go ahead, Ron.
Right, and I just want to, again, do my commercial break. You're listening to Ask Kathleen. Our calling number 909-265-9189. We're talking about relationships and from a relationship perspective with our guest, Lowkey Edwards. We have Finesse. We have callers. Carlin's on the line. Melinda and T, all your lines, mics are open. We just want to make this a roundtable discussion to take out the last 10 minutes of the show. And I want to ask about approach because, you know, you can tell a lot about a person even in how they approach, even if they're trying to, like, hustle you in a relationship and how you approach. Because I know when we were younger, you know, someone asked me about, you know, shy guys stay in the back, and then the guys who are whistling and yelling at you out the car, you find out that those guys are no good. And I was explaining to someone that you realize that guys have to practice. And so if they're used to getting turned down over and over again, they'll ask just about anybody till they respond. And so that's like learned behavior for guys. And you don't get that until you get a little bit older to know that that's learned behavior. So I want to talk to you guys like from guys' perspective, and the ladies can jump in on this too. What would you say was a reasonable approach to starting off a relationship? Like, how do you approach people to start off relationships that's not, you know, red flag? I mean, you can start low-key if you like, but how?
What, you know what? From you know, I go back to when I was a shy person. You know, as Carl said, as a shy person, you got no play. You know, and we stood by and watched the guys who had some game get all the play. And we thought that was the way to get to women. You had to have some game, you know. And you know, you couldn't step to a woman if you didn't have good game. But today, it truly is like T said. I mean, so there are good women out there. And you stated it. We need to practice. Men need to be on their game. It's about respect. It's about consideration. It's about, you know, what do you want to portray yourself as, and when dealing with women. So when you approach them, it's really about introducing yourself and just saying, hey, you know, you mind having a conversation with me? You know, and then striking up some conversation and finding out a little something about the person, you know, and then taking it from there. You have to be yourself. And it goes back to what Vanessa was saying, know yourself, spend time with yourself, and when you approach people, you won't have a problem.
Okay, Vanessa or Loki?
Yeah, my thing, what I'm trying to work on is trying to get people to understand that I'm not 16, I'm 45. So I'm trying to figure out how to present myself so that the women my age don't think that I'm some young kid, and the girls that going to get me in trouble with Chris Hansen or realize that I'm older. So I'm trying to figure out right now. But, working on myself has been the best thing. And in order to present myself to anybody that's interested, for me, it's like if I go out or go anywhere, I don't approach females anymore because I truly believe that women know who they want and what they want. All I do is present myself. Somebody comes up and talk, we talk, and we go from there, you know, if they're interested. But other than that, I see so many guys dogging after females when they go out that I took myself completely out of the mix because women get hit on. From the time a woman grows breasts, she is hit on till the day she dies. So why do I want to add another statistic and have women be like rolling their eyes, oh, this dude trying to hit on me? No, take myself out of the equation. A woman knows what she wants when she sees it, and I just go from there.
Right, okay. And Carlton, you want to add on it? Okay, well.
That's true.
Yeah, I'm here.
Yeah, no, I was just saying, like, the subject is about, okay, go ahead. I just want you to jump in if you.
I found out after I got older, that me not approaching women made them want me because I find out that women sometimes want what they can't have. I mean, women I chased after for years did not touch me or even talk to me until I just said, you know what, I'm through with it. Then they want to be friends.
So that's just like the biggest part of mixed signals anyway, but okay. T, now, does that throw you, like, from hearing that? Like, Melinda and T, you're both on the line, but I just want to ask the question that from just dealing with guys generally, do you find the guys who are a little bit more shy more appealing, or the guys who are more aggressive, or who step to you? Either one can take
the ones that are shy.
You said ones that are shy?
No, that was Melinda.
Okay. Oh, Melinda, go ahead.
That was me, the ones that are shy.
Okay.
There's more mystery there. There is. You gotta, for me personally, before I had my man, if I saw a guy who was into himself by himself, I would go over and introduce myself. I wasn't one to get to know him, start of a conversation. What's your favorite color? What do you like to do? What kind of sports are you into? Books? All that.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Well, mine would be like more a little more outgoing, because I'm a little more shy. So, you know, I think I would prefer him to say something, but just, I mean, be respectable. It could even be conversation about what's going on at the moment. That's fine. It doesn't have to be all big and drawn out. And just wanted to touch back on what Vanessa was saying. I think if you're attracted, and, you know, it might be where it's at, why does she have to say anything? What's wrong with you saying something? And then also, you may miss out on what it is that you are looking for by not opening your mouth. And that just goes with females as well. Because at the end of the day, I will say something. But
okay.
How much do I want it to say something?
Right.
Well, I think you might miss out on the one if you don't make a choice. I'm not going to wait. That's all I got. I spoke to him first. So we were at a bar. We were at work. I thought he was my employer, but we were employees. By the way, he was looking. I thought he was the boss. And I was like, oh, hi, my name's Melinda. You know, I even gave him my number. He didn't give me his call and the call. And then the first question was, why did you give me your number? I was like, wow. I liked the conversation, and I wanted to keep in touch. It worked. Because, yeah, I mean, my conversation was, he looked like, you know, he had a blazer, nice shirt, but his tie was messed up. And I was like, you know, can I fix that? Because it doesn't look right. My dad gave me my sister's tie lessons. We were going up, you know, help a guy out. And when I was doing it, he couldn't stop saying my big brown eyes. So it took off from that. It's a cool thing. I take heart.
And what I like about this is Melinda and T's approach were totally different. So it just means that there is no right way. But sometimes you do have to step up, and sometimes, you know, you can kind of wait it out a little bit and say, you know, let the girl approach. There's no right and wrong. I know, Loki, you want to say something?
Well, you know, I think, as you said, both approaches work. I think in today's environment, and as Vanessa alluded to earlier, you know, women are more aggressive, and they're coming at men, but you know, I stick with him on that. That, you know, I'm going to be the person that steps to the woman I'm interested in.
Yeah, I was,
we're from the old school. That's why.
Right, and I just was asking the question to say, is there any right or wrong way? And that is kind of where I was going with that.
Right. No, I don't think there is. I mean, you think there is? Right.
Yeah, I think there is, in the fact of as what you were doing before wasn't working, what's wrong with taking a different approach? So that's where I think the right or the wrong comes in. Like, maybe get out of the norm and let the other way be okay and see what it does for you.
Well, I can see
I can see
that working if you've been taking that approach of addressing men and stepping to men, and you've had failed relationships. But if you haven't had failed relationships and you've had success with that, then that works for you. The same goes for allowing men to come to you. If you've had failed relationship after failed relationship, you might want to change your approach or examine yourself or your situation.
And I don't think there's anything wrong, with any approach. And for guys, we just have to know the signs, because some girls, they may not approach you, but they're going to give you a signal. And again, that falls into what I'm basically saying is, wait for, you know, the woman's going to let you know if she's interested. One way or the other, she's going to let you know. But, you know, girls, you can tell a girl's mood and can tell, oh, Lord, here comes another one. And I think sometimes we just have to ease up and just let ourselves, just let them make some kind of sign. I think that's the main thing. But I think all the approaches work.
Right.
That goes back to the coding of the communication. The coded communication is a huge issue.
Right.
Huge
and
issue.
Go ahead.
I think situation matters as well, because some women do like to be approached, but they may not want to be approached when they're with their children or around other people, because it makes for just kind of feeling on the spot, because it may make them feel like that or embarrassed a little bit. So I think it all depends on the approach, the time, the mood, everything, which approach to take.
Okay. You know, and we're about to end on that note. I want to thank everybody for joining in on Ask Kathleen. I'm Jerome Esprit. We had Low Key, Finesse, of course, coming in. Carlton, good job, guys, on the calls. Melinda, T, thanks for joining in. We'll be back next week. Kathleen will be back at her 7 o'clock usual time for the show. And we'll be on Espritnet News. We'll let you know when Relational Perspective starts. And, you know, Low-Key, I just want to say, hey, a good conversation, good kickoff, brother.
Hey, man, we're looking forward to the show, Relational Perspective, and we hope everybody joins.
All right. And just a reminder, hey, Espritnet News on Thursdays, 11 o'clock, you can check out Finesse and Love of the Spoken Word, all of that stuff on, My Soul Radio. Almost forgot. Just remember, join us again next week. All content of this program is protected, may not be reproduced, distributed, transmitted, or otherwise published without prior written permission of Ask Kathleen, Esprit Media, or Esprit Media. All rights are reserved. See you next week.